that shark bites with its teeth, baby.
Welcome back. I'm Michael. You're listening to The Michael Dresser Show. Dana Oliver with us, the author of Mantra Leadership, Don't Become the Emperor with No Clothes. He's the Senior Director of Research and Development at Medtronic Surgical Technologies. That's the division. That's the division for the last 12 years now. He's has approximately 30 years of experience in the field of medical devices. He's applied for over 30 patent applications and has been granted 15 U.S. patents to date. He's led numerous cross-functional product development teams in the successful introduction and revenue generation of hundreds of millions of dollars. And let us say, Dana, hi, welcome to the show.
Michael, thank you very much, sir. And let me begin by first saying it's a real honor to make your acquaintance. And secondly, it's a privilege to be part of your show. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Dana. You know, what you are saying, and just the emperor with no clothes, if I can remember that, it means not seeing what's there. And I would venture to guess that the majority of problems in most businesses, whether it be technical, whatever orient bent it is, that we don't see things. And I think that in and of itself is a major problem.
And I think that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, Michael, is that, you know, after all my many years of watching how business happens, it's interesting to watch how leaders ascend. And there's an old expression that when you become a VP, your head's above the, you know, above the fence line and can be cut off. But there's also another expression, which is, that's the last time you ever hear the truth. And the question is, why is that? And the reason is that people all of a sudden become afraid to talk to you. They feel like they can't tell you the truth. And one of the reasons for that is because when leaders become so big and they ascend, they get so much bad news that they start biting people's heads off. But the reality is you have to be inviting. You have to say thank you when you hear bad news, because that's how you ensure honesty and transparency in your department.
And I think what another one it comes down to it is this, the total reverse of what you're saying and in agreement with what you're saying is that a leader's job is to create engagement. That in and of itself is the most powerful thing that you can do. If you step aside, if you step back, if you wall yourself off from your employees the way you were just talking about, the engagement doesn't happen and you don't get the full effect, the full value of what can be done and created.
Mike, I fully agree with you. I mean, and I think that's why I'm very much a believer in emotional intelligence. And what I'm trying to do as a goal is introduce aspiring leaders as well as seasoned leaders to be more emotionally intelligent. And the upside to that is that there's plenty of research that shows that if people are happy, they're not distracted, they use less sick time, and their productivity can be improved by as much as 30%. So why would any leader not want to take advantage of greater productivity? And the answer to that is that, again, leaders get caught up in all their busy work and their goals of the day, and all of a sudden the people who make the business, they get lost in the equation.
Oh, sure. And let's go all the way back to parents. Parents, obviously, we know, model what that child is going to be like. If the child is accepted, if the child is acknowledged, then that's what the child looks for when it gets away from home, goes into school, and wherever the case may be. If the child is not accepted, not acknowledged, they go out and look for that acknowledgement, and they could get in trouble with the people they pick. That said, now, once somebody has that within them, and that's what they're looking for, it creates what we call family. When somebody goes to an organization, and this is the way they were brought up, this is the way it started, Dana, what they look for is family again. And the moment that happens, they have the engagement, they have the happiness, they have everything that you're talking about, and then it really begins. So it really starts with the parents at home.
I fully agree with that. And the correlation, what's interesting to me, Michael, what I've seen around my entire career is that when you become a leader, you have to be coached and mentored and trained on what's right and what's wrong. It's no different than when you lived at home. Your parents, assuming you came from, a proper upbringing, they told you, hey, this is the right thing to do. That's an inappropriate behavior. I think in our society today around business, businesses grow so fast. There's, you have bubbles, you have companies that acquire other companies, you have, dot-coms, you have software companies that just, come out of nowhere. And what happens is a lot of leaders ascend very quickly, but they get promotions without seeing the wake of destruction,
sure,
where they weren't emotionally intelligent. So the correlation is lost. The family, like you're talking about, that connection is lost. So what I'm trying to do is bring people back to the reality and show them through the book, this is the cause and effect.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you've got, I haven't heard anybody talk about this for years, but there was something called the Peter Principle, the height of incompetency. You know, you get a great salesperson and they're wonderful, they do a job, and because they've been so good, they get brought into management, they get they get brought into management. Then they're a great salesperson, they're an okay manager. Then they get into the executive position of the company. They're a lousy executive, an okay manager, and a wonderful salesperson. At one time or another, they've lost that height of competency, and I think that's really what we're talking about. People get in there, they don't look, and they get beyond their ability, and they hide it.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And I think one of the reasons is, there's an old expression, and you promote people you like.
Yeah.
And so what happens is, like you said, you have someone that's doing a good job, you promote them, but if they can no longer do the job you've promoted them to, as a good leader, it's your responsibility to either correct that situation, or if it means you have to demote them because you've put them to a position where they don't have the competencies or the capabilities to lead and exceed your expectations. The problem arises when some leaders view that as, they were my draft pick, they were my decision, and if I now effectively demote them, it's a scar on me. I think that's a small mentality. I think you have to look beyond that and say, what's more important to the business? And so that's where you need to dismiss yourself from how it might be perceived in you and look at what's more important for the business.
You know, there's another area of consideration that, and I love what you're doing because of this. Most people hear the word leader. And now, being a leader is not innate. This doesn't automatically occur with anybody. Being a leader, it's a learned skill. And I don't care who you are, what ability that you think you have or the base for it, there are principles that you have to learn to truly become the leader that will get the most out of the people that he or she's working with. So the key is, it's learning how to be a leader. Because if you don't learn how, you're going to run into all the things that you're talking about right now. They're going to come at you, and you're not even going to know that they've hit you until it's too late.
Michael, I'm so glad that you just said that. I mean, here's the reality. Like you, leadership is, it's not innate. I mean, some people just have innate skills and or gifts, and some people are gifted leaders. However, to your point, leadership is learned. It's no different than going to college. It's no different than learning mathematics. I tell people all the time, if you want to be a great leader, it's like a golf swing. You can't have a golf swing because you want it to be great. You have to practice it. And leadership is no different. That's why I endorse, you know, you go to courses, you read books, you write things down, you take feedback, you get coached, you mentor. It's a continuing process. And then you look at and get feedback, the things that you're doing, and you adjust your style over time. So you find the things that you're really good at, which you want to keep, find the things that you're not doing so well at, and that's where you want to improve. But again, it gets back to, you know, we talk about the honesty. If you're a leader that's not inviting to feedback, you're never going to get the feedback.
Oh, sure. There's a rule that I learned many, many years ago, Dana, and the rule is this, that a good leader knows when to become a follower, and a good teacher knows when to become a student. I change hats 5 or 6 times a week. That's the power of leadership.
I fully agree with you, Michael. One of the things that I love the most and I tell people is, if you really want to be a good leader, you need to listen. And if you think you're the smartest person in the room or that you have all the answers, boy, you're not going to attract good people around you.
No. No. And really what it is, it's letting somebody be acknowledged for who and what they do. And Dana, I probably use this a million times a week on the radio, but there's some magic to this in particular. If you really want to get along with somebody, let's say you have kids. You sit down with one of your children, and this is the question that you ask them. How do you know when you're loved? Now, we think we know, but we don't until someone tells us. Now, you take that to an employee. The question is, how do you know when you're acknowledged? And be quiet and let them tell you. Now that you know, you can work with that and get the absolute best out of them.
Mm, that's an interesting. I had not heard of that. So I like that. I think that's a tactic I'm going to try.
Good.
I mean, certainly, you know, for me, and so thank you for providing that, Michael. For me, what I try to do is I try to connect with people, and it means a lot of late hours. But you know what? I'll wait till after hours, and I'll wander around the building, or I'll talk to people, and I'll sit down with them for a few minutes and just say, hey, you know, what are you working on?
Yeah.
You know, how are things at home? And I make those connections. And you know, at the end of the day, Michael, all employees really want is they want to know that they're appreciated. They want to be treated with professional respect, and they recognize that they're being paid to do a job. But if they realize that their boss knows what they're doing and they take an interest in what they're doing, boy, I tell you what, they will come into work every single day. And then it goes back again to that increase in productivity. But unfortunately, that's not the society. We live in a society today where a lot of leadership, it's eat your own young, which is really sad. It's all about their own self images and their egos and getting, you know, to their own place in life. I think you have to look at people and say, it's about the business.
Yeah.
And people that, it's not about the business, they shouldn't be promoted beyond that.
Absolutely, because when it really comes down to it, the everybody, here, ask me what my favorite subject is. Go ahead.
Michael, what's your favorite subject, sir?
Me. but that's, but Dana, that's people. And when we finally get that, it's fine. Nothing, the world is nothing more than a mirror of your experiences, who you are, what you like, what you don't like. And when we start to get that, it's okay. And to be able to take, like you're doing, take that extra step for that person that's out there, and they know that somebody cares. Somebody stopped for a second and said, who are you? We live in a world that is so fast-paced today that nobody seems to care about anything. You know, you walk into a restaurant, you walk in here or there, they're not looking at you. You know, how many times have you gone to the checkout stand at a market and they said, how are you? Well, they're looking out the door and they're talking to you. So what we've lost is that personal touch. We've lost that whose name is on the tag and call somebody a name and reach out and touch them.
Well, and I'm trying to change that paradigm. What I'm trying to do is educate people to say, look, when you ascend as a leader, your ascension is only limited by yourself. So it's the people around you that make you great. So you want to hire people that are great. You want to hire people that are smarter than you. You want to empower those people. And then, you know, give them direction, the tools, create the vision, give them the priority, everything that they need to succeed. After that, it's either they do it or they don't. But the reality is, if you let people succeed and excel around you, that will be noticed, which in turn will mean greater upward mobility for yourself. So it's a paradigm shift from people. They need to move beyond me and look at the whole. And great businesses are a factor of great people. It's not the leader. But leaders are indeed, culture is a byproduct of leadership.
Okay, I walk into a business, and I'm asking this rhetorically. I walk into a business, and Dana, what do I see? I see myself. And that's the key. I'll see what I'm missing. I'll see what's holding me back. And then if I have a backup like, you know, you're giving, then I will do everything I can to fill that gap to make sure that, you know, I'm doing my best, the business is doing my best. Again, I want to go back to the world is nothing more than a mirror. If I walk into a business and that business is lacking in any way, shape, or form, I have to go back in my own life and I will find similarities that will be very close to that, the same lacking. So it's what you get drawn to is basically who you are. And for somebody to take the time and spend a few minutes with you just to ask you who you are, it's something, and I can't repeat this enough, we just don't get today, and that should be more and more of that. People should care.
Right. And again, it's the paradigm shift. I used to have a boss, and he used to say to me, Dana, if two people think entirely alike, you don't need one of them.
Yeah.
And so to me, you know, being part of a leader is, like you said, you need to look at how, finding people around you that have complementary strengths.
Sure.
You know, you need to be aligned philosophically, but if they have strengths that you don't have, all of a sudden now there's synergy, there's gestalt.
Yeah.
You get greater, you know, resonance and capabilities by having people that have skills beyond yourself. Again, though, it's a paradigm shift that, you know, takes place, it's hard, but you have to, it starts young, and you have to get to, you know, the leaders early and help them understand the right way to groom and grow.
Sure. Now, we're just about out of time, but let me say this very quickly, that one of the mistakes that entrepreneurs make, people that are starting businesses today make, is when they hire someone, and you said it early on, you got to hire someone who knows more than you. You have a business, you need people to augment your skills, but you need people who know more than you do. Otherwise, why do you need them in the first place? So that's what it comes down to. All right. Do you have a website we can find you at?
I do. My website is www.mantraleadership.com.
And can we get the book there?
It's you can get the book. And what I've said, it's set up so that you can buy it through my publisher, Ex Libris, or you can link right to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble.
Wonderful. And so, by the way, thank you so much for joining us.
Michael, I it's been all my pleasure. The time has flew by. This is one of two of my favorite topics to discuss. And again, I can't say thank you enough for giving me a little time on your show. It's been a pleasure, and I hope I have an opportunity to come back and talk with you again.
Love to have you back. Dana, take care.
All right, sir.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And it keeps it.